last year. It was a very mild flu season, thanks in large part to people taking more precautions to prevent spreading the coronavirus. But influenza is back this year, already with increased cases over the previous season. COVID-19 and the new variant of concern, Omicron, are still top of mind as threats to public health, but public health experts say it's important to not overlook the flu. WPR health reporter Shemaine Mills starts things off. She's been following the numbers of flu cases we're seeing in Wisconsin so far. Shemaine, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
What does the flu landscape look like right now in Wisconsin?
Well, cases are low, and flu is starting to show up. We've seen a quick and steep rise in the number of cases, not only in this state, but across the nation. There was a huge outbreak at the University of Michigan, over 500 cases, which the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is looking into. And this was all before Thanksgiving, before people got together. So this is just the start of the flu season, and this is what we're seeing already.
And in your reporting, you looked at a comparable institution to the U of Michigan, UW-Madison. What is going on campus there as they watch and try to make sure they don't have a similar outbreak?
Exactly. They put out a tweet saying, are you feeling sick? You don't know if it's COVID-19 or the flu. They have similar symptoms. So they just urged people to get tested so you know, so you don't spread it around, especially with COVID right now. We don't want to make the situation worse with cases already so high and hospitals full.
As you mentioned, Shemaine, flu cases low, but compared to last year, of course, an increase. As you talk to public health experts and others, what kind of message are they sending about the upcoming flu season in Wisconsin?
Well, protect yourself if you can. They're urging people to get vaccinated. And just be careful when you're around big groups. One doctor I talked to was a little nervous because he said there's less carryover immunity we would get from a normal flu season, which we didn't have last year, didn't have a lot of cases, so people don't have that immunity built up. And we're seeing fewer people vaccinated so far this year. I mean, we're only at 30%. Now, granted, the flu season started in October, but last year, more people got vaccinated at this time than have done so already so far this year. And the doctor described this year's type of strain of flu going around as a bad actor. He said it's aggressive. So it's not something you want to get.
Shemaine, thanks again for joining us today.
You bet.
Shemaine Mills is WPR's health reporter. Now Tom Haupt joins us. He's Wisconsin Department of Health Services Influenza Surveillance Coordinator. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks, Rob. I appreciate the invitation to come back on your show.
Well, we heard some of the basics there from Shemaine. What is standing out to you as you watch, as you have for many years now, as you watch this flu season in progress?
Well, as Shemaine said, we were definitely seeing an increase in cases over the past few weeks. We went from like 7 cases 2 weeks ago to over 128 in 1 week. I was hoping that I was going to give you an updated number today, but the numbers just didn't come in time. But we know that it's here. We, as Shemaine said, the particular virus, which is the influenza AH3, tends to be one of the more powerful viruses and causes more sicknesses and more severe illnesses. And unfortunately, it has resulted in fatalities in the past. So again, we are encouraging people to get vaccinated as quickly as possible for yourself and to protect those people around you, especially during the holiday season.
I know one concern, Tom, looking at maps of the state and available emergency room beds and hospital capacity, very low, especially in the northwestern part of the state. Is that part of the concern here that we want to, as much as we can, avoid people having to end up in emergency rooms?
Definitely. Emergency rooms, hospital beds, intensive care beds are all at a minimum right now. So we do not want people, we want people to do everything they can to protect themselves. And as was said, starting with vaccination is the main key.
We're talking with Department of Health Services Influenza Surveillance Coordinator Tom Haupt about this year's flu season in Wisconsin this year. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Did you make the decision to get vaccinated against the flu as soon as you could? A lot of other vaccination talk going on, of course, at the same time. Join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Tom Haupt, Influenza Surveillance Coordinator at Wisconsin's Department of Health Services. The flu season is back. Not huge this year, but we had a very light flu season last year. We're looking at how to keep it from picking up steam and how it impacts individual and public health concerns with COVID-19. You can join in with your questions if you'd like at 800-642-1234 about influenza, about vaccines, and related topics. That's 800-642-1234. Tom, I'll ask you the question I think I've asked you many times before, or just kind of a reminder. When people think flu, they sometimes think stomach flu. That's not the flu we're talking about here, right?
That's correct. Flu, influenza, is a respiratory virus. Causes immediate onset of fever that can get up to well over 100 degrees. A nasal congestion, sore throats, body aches, and fatigue that can last a long period of time. So really nothing to do with the GI symptoms, gastrointestinal symptoms, or diarrhea. It's all respiratory.
Let's talk about vaccines now. Now, of course, people are getting coronavirus first and second vaccines. They're getting boosters now. I think a common question out there is, can I get a flu vaccine and a coronavirus vaccine at the same time? What is the latest thinking on that, Tom?
The latest thinking is you can get the both vaccines at the same time. The coronavirus vaccine, especially if it's second vaccine that you're getting or a booster, sometimes has side effects, and sometimes people will tend to not want to get them at the same time. But we are encouraging people to get them as soon as possible. But it is, as you said, Rob, it's okay to get both of them at the same time.
And I think bad news here, does getting a vaccine for one of those two illnesses help us at all with the other one, coronavirus to flu, flu to coronavirus?
No, there's really no cross reaction to from the coronavirus to influenza. We're talking two very distinctive viruses that are going around, both of which can cause very severe respiratory illnesses.
What do we know so far this year about the match of the flu vaccine versus the strains we're seeing in the U.S.?
Well, it's very early, Ben. We're actually waiting for more test results coming back from the CDC. EPIA, they call it, which took place at the University of Michigan. What we do know is the influenza AH3 seems to be predominant, and usually the vaccine is a little less effective when the H3 virus is versus the influenza AH1 or Bs. That's because the H3 virus tends to mutate a little bit more. We've heard that a lot, with the variants of the coronavirus going around, the term mutation. But H3 viruses tend to change more often, and as a result, we usually have less effectiveness, but we still have some protection against the most powerful influenza virus that causes the most amount of illnesses.
Can you talk about the forecasting process? Because this seems like a really big task, looking all over the globe and figuring out which of those, I guess, many varieties could end up here.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very difficult situation to go through, and it was especially difficult last year when we had so few cases of influenza. The CDC and the World Health Organization did everything they possibly can to make sure that this year's vaccine is a match, but we just didn't have the data that we wanted to. So we're very optimistic, though, that based on the limited data that we do have, that it's going to be a good match between the vaccines and all of the components of the vaccines, no matter if it's an influenza A or influenza B.
Are there lessons we're taking away from last fall when, unfortunately, Wisconsin was getting hit hard by the coronavirus, but the flu was pretty quiet? Does this point us toward, I don't know, any personal prevention measures we might think about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you mentioned, flu just fell off the table late in March of 2020. That's when the mask mandates and the stay-at-home orders were all put together and implemented. And people can use those as a lesson. And we're not saying we're going to have a mask mandate. We're not. But we are encouraging people that if they do have to go out and they have some kind of respiratory illnesses for whatever reason, it's not good. Nobody should be ashamed to get that mask out of their pocket again and put it back on. But we want people to think about good hygiene as well, washing your hands, sneezing into their sleeves, throwing away the tissues and washing your hands right away, and even continuing on with the social distancing. When you're in big crowds, you don't know who they are. We want to try to stay away as much as you possibly can, you know, stay that 6 feet away from other people as much as you can. Granted, it's going to be very difficult, but all lessons that we learned in COVID could also be applied to this influenza season, especially if it becomes a very severe influenza season.
Talking to Tom Haupt, Wisconsin Department of Health Services Influenza Surveillance Coordinator, looking at the flu season in Wisconsin. Starting, not too bad yet, hoping we can keep it that way. Now, Tom, every fall I have to play the game allergies, cold, or flu. Now we throw COVID into the mix. Can you talk about, you touched on a little earlier, can you talk about the distinctive symptoms that point toward influenza?
It's very difficult because they do mimic the COVID-19 symptoms as well. Again, with the high fevers, just a sudden onset of high fevers, sore throat, body aches, severe body aches to the point where you don't even want to get out of bed, and continued fatigue after you come down with influenza, which actually some people describe as being hit by a bus. You just don't want to get out of bed. You're tired for weeks. And COVID can have very similar symptoms to that. Usually with allergies, obviously you wouldn't get the high fevers, that type of thing. So it's a little bit easier to distinguish between that and influenza. But it is very difficult to really make that distinction between COVID-19 and influenza. We continue to ask doctors to test for both, because they both have antivirals that can be treated, especially influenza. If it's been given within 48 hours of onset, that can lessen your symptoms and shorten your time that you can spread it to others.
With all those symptoms floating around out there, do you have some guidelines for, you know, if somebody has these symptoms, they should seek medical help? They should quarantine themselves. What is our threshold?
It all depends on how the person is to begin with. If they have underlying illnesses, anything that would make their immune system altered, whether it's medications or disease or anything that would make their lower their immune systems, upon the onset of a fever and the typical body aches, that type of thing, that's something that is a sign for people to seek medical attention, whether it's virtual or in live. You know, they still can be prescribed, perhaps, you know, getting prescribed the right antivirals to shorten their period of communicability to others and shorten the length of symptoms and make the symptoms less severe. So, again, it really depends on a lot of people and what type of underlying illnesses they might have. I wish I could give you a straight across the board. This is when you go to the doctor. This is when you don't have to go to the doctor. But it all depends on that person's own immune system and health history.
In just our last minute or so, Tom, how do we as a state monitor, how do we keep a count on flu cases?
Well, there's several different ways. We have a virological, we check the viruses from the virus labs that do the testing. They voluntarily send that information to the state laboratory of hygiene, the number of tests they run and the number of positives. And that information is then shared with me, and we put that into our virological surveillance system. We also have a sentinel physician, or sentinel clinician, of about 35 to 40 emergency departments that we monitor for influenza-like illness. And that would be very simple, fever with cough or sore throat. That's influenza-like illness. And then we divide that by the number of total visits to get a percentage. So those are the two main ways that we're really looking at it. We also look at influenza hospitalizations as well. And, you know, through the three different main components, we feel we have a pretty good handle of what's going on where in the state of Wisconsin.
Tom, thanks again for joining us today.
Rob, thanks. And I appreciate the opportunity to get the message out to your listeners. And happy holidays to everybody. And let's have a healthy one, okay?
That's Tom Haupt, Wisconsin Department of Health Services Influenza Surveillance Coordinator. Talk to him today about what's different with this year's flu season and how we can best prevent the spread of influenza and the coronavirus.